Let's talk about building polarity and maintaining polarity, passion, intimacy in a long-term relationship. As anyone experiences in a long-term relationship, it's very common for there to come a point where what worked before doesn't work now as far as attraction and intimacy.
Do you want to live a high vibe life with radiant energy levels, juicy sexual vitality, and have great success manifesting abundance in your life? Welcome to the Sexual Kung Fu Podcast, where we dive deep into sexual mastery and how to use sexual energy to magnetize your ideal life.
So as far as the dynamics of conversation, because it's like, well, how do we communicate what we're both feeling? Because obviously that needs to happen. But the whole thing of polarity is understanding that there's always a yin and there's always a yang, masculine and feminine. And it's not to say that as a man, I'm supposed to be in the masculine 24/7. That's not it. That's not balance. I need to be able to express my feelings, and she needs to understand what's happening within me. But it's all about having that at the right time and the right place. If I'm constantly saying, well, I feel this way, I feel that way, which I certainly have my days where I do, but it just, you know, I mean, it makes me feel probably more like a whiny little teenager, right? It just, it is what it is.
And I think we've kind of come up with our own, I don't know, playful language around it, that it's like, okay, you're in like your luteal phase, or like you're in your menstrual cycle today. And even, like you say, continuing to have communication and conversation around that allows me to be in a space where I'm less judgmental about that and like, oh, I wish that he would just step up and be a man today. I wish that he would just lead us. I wish that you could just be different. It really helps me to be like, oh, this is where you're at today. And I accept you and I love you and I accept you no matter what state you're in, which is something that you're so great at giving me all the time. So having that communication piece has really helped me, just be able to feel and understand you more deeply so that I can be more kind and accepting and loving and not manipulative.
For sure.
Unintentionally.
And I've come a long way, but I certainly just have my off days. Like some days I'm just
human.
Human, for sure. So specifically the piece around communication is basically one person is in a state of going within themselves and expressing how they're feeling. I'm feeling this. And this is actually formal practice that we do. There's more specifics to it, but just to share generally, it's important, the least you put a story behind it. Like if you're saying, well,
I'm angry because you didn't put the dishes in the dishwasher the right way.
You're a horrible dishwasher. You always fuck it up. And it's always, see how that's a story. And it's the tendency we have to do that. Just like complete blame, complete, this is all your fault. And that's, again, a quick way to destroy intimacy. And I mean, this is what kills most people's relationships, is they just get stuck in the past and telling a story. Instead of that, just saying, I'm feeling angry. There doesn't have to be a story behind it. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling sexually frustrated. I'm feeling like I need sex, blah, blah, blah. So just the feeling. You communicate the feeling in its purity without putting a story behind it, without dragging the past into it and like saying, well, because you did this and you always do this. Bad habit to get into. And so while one person is doing this.
And we both do it. We swap.
We swap. But one person basically is in that state of feeling. The other person, so when she's in that phase, I sit there and just hold pure presence. I expand my consciousness. I get out of my, because the tendency is for me to like have this reaction to what she said, like, oh, it must,
internalize.
She's saying I'm bad. And so I go into my own feelings and I actually retract my energy and I go into a yin state. So once again, we're clashing. So this is a practice of, I simply sit there, breathe, and I observe her. I hold my awareness on her. I penetrate her with my consciousness. I feel the room. I expand myself. And anytime I start to feel like an hurt, I just breathe. I release tension through my body. So I'm sitting there just full expansion, just radiating like the sun, just expanding my consciousness, protecting her, protecting the space. And the more I'm able to do that, the safer she feels able to go within and express her feelings and be seen by me. And then she can truly be heard, truly be seen. And I may also reflect, I see this in you. I see that you were feeling this. I see this is happening for you.
Yeah, and I think an important distinction is that it's not at all a problem-solving time. There's no conversation happening. It's literally like two individual people kind of like, one person sharing what's coming up internally for them and being in a space where it's safe to express all of that. Like, there's some really crazy stuff that's come out, a lot of anger, a lot of deep sadness, grief, all kinds of things through these sessions from both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're not in a problem-solving mode trying to find a solution to the problem or fix something that we perceive as wrong in that moment, we're able to just express it and allow it to come out, and that's enough. It's enough completion for that moment for us to be able to move forward and feel completely different and like have that polarity recharged without us actually having to like solve anything.
And I'll encourage you, you know, encourage her to
go deeper.
To go deeper into like feel it deeper, express it, make a sound. Because when I can tell she's really stuck in something, what I found helps is if she creates a movement in her body or like expresses it in her voice, and that starts to open up the channels. Mm-hmm. And as a man, you have to be prepared to sit there and hold the chaotic feminine when she's screaming at the top of her lungs, when she's crying her eyes out. You know, if I collapse and get scared and say, oh no, that's just she needs to contain her emotions as a woman. That's a typical kind of teenage boy that simply cannot handle intensity. So he shuts down and blames the other person for it. But when I, as a man, can hold that, be her protector to shine my consciousness throughout it, she feels safer, you feel safer to go deeper, and you feel supported by me. And that often leads to intense sexual desire as well.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you want to say anything about this, but I feel like there's also so much power in you being able to express what you're feeling as well. Because I mean, just like, no matter what the situation is, most men don't really have much of an outlet for that. Or it's like, you're going to go on like a 10-day retreat out in the wilderness with 20 other guys, and that's where you can get all of your emotions out. But for like, Otherwise it's very, very like contained. There's not much space for men to do that. And I just have noticed with you being able to share that stuff on more of a day-to-day basis, not only, again, do we have like a much stronger polarity and connection with each other, but it feels like you feel, again, safer to be able to express the little things that are coming up as they're happening or very shortly after, rather than holding on to it as resentment and letting that build up for months or years before it finally can be released in some way. And so it's just really helping release potential toxicity in the body before it actually becomes stagnant.
For sure. And this is such an important thing for men, because for men, it tends to be either one of two extremes. Either the more common extreme now is men who are over emotional, too freely expressing of their emotions. Basically, men who are whiny teenage boys, constantly complaining, constantly saying, well, this is, blah, blah, and like, you know, that's an exaggeration. It's too much. The other extreme is kind of the stereotypical expressionless man who holds everything in. He holds everything in, never expresses any emotion. I've never cried in my life. And what does that man, what usually happens to that man? He dies of a heart attack in his 40s because he's held everything in and explodes. Men need to be able to express himself, but it's not just in every single moment, just because you have an emotion, you should make sure everyone around you knows it. That's not necessarily it either. It's about having the time and space. And this practice is helpful for me just to like, hey, this is what I'm feeling today. This is kind of where I'm coming from. And once she sees like what I'm feeling, she understands like why I'm maybe a bit off that day, et cetera. And, you know, even just a few minutes of this, mm-hmm. and then I transition into being, you know, I have my space to share what I'm feeling. And then I move on from that, let it go. And now I'm holding her with just my pure consciousness. And I'm out of my feeling sense.
Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, similar but different thing for the female side of that is like us doing this practice isn't something where it's like, okay, now 24/7, you must be available for all of my chaotic emotions and whatever comes up. Like, again, yes, there are times where that's happening. And it's usually like luteal menstruation.
As a man, you have to be prepared to 24/7 chaotic emotions. You just never know.
Yes. But I guess the clarification I'm wanting to make is that it's not permission for whoever's taking on the feminine role. It's not permission for them to just like lay into you at any point in time. Yeah. It's still a contained thing where it's like, okay, maybe I'm having trouble like keeping this contained throughout the day because I'm feeling something really big today, but I'm not just going to like walk up to him and be like, blah, here's the tornado. Like, usually we have a set time planned for when we're going to connect that day. And so it's like, okay, that's my time to bring this and like containing it until then, knowing that like, okay, I have time that I can express this. I have time that I can move this. And if I'm not doing that in my own practice that day, like this is the space where I can do that. And like you said, allowing it to move through and then letting it be done. And then moving on from there.
Yeah, the container is everything. So it's like when it arises, it's like, okay, hey, I have something I need to express. Like I'm feeling something, I need to share it with you. Yeah. And that's, and then you, so there's a bit of a, versus just like, if there's just an outburst, I fucking hate you, blah, 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 which, you know, again, it's a very common tendency for people to have, and it's going to happen from time to time, but just when that's the only dynamic, it becomes very toxic very quickly. And that's what quickly leads to resentment, shutting down, and just, oh, I need someone new. And so there's a certain maturity required here. It's work. It's probably the most difficult work is being in a committed long-term relationship, because it puts you deeply into your shit. Eventually you have to accept that, you know, you can only blame the other person for so much. And a lot of the issues are actually coming from, like, for me, I'm stepping up into owning, like, yeah, this is my shit. Like,
we're just a reflection of each other.
We had periods of lost desire and sexual attraction in our relationship because of things I feel like things I'm taking responsibility for, because I wasn't stepping up into my leadership, into my masculinity. And I could say, oh, you're just, you have your past life karma you need to heal, and your energy channels aren't clear enough. And I can say, oh, I just need to find someone new. And I think, a very immature approach, but it's very common. It's easy to blame the other person, but the more difficult, but ultimately, well, the only thing that's going to lead you, in my opinion, to fulfillment is to accept, okay, this is a reflection of what's within me. It means I have more work to do. Like, let's go deeper into this.
Mm-hmm. Something I really loved that I heard Richard Rudd say was just that unless a relationship is like truly toxic or physically abusive, you shouldn't leave because you still have more to learn there. And I think that's what ends up happening for a lot of people who either leave a relationship really early and like get into a bunch of relationships back to back, or people who we were talking about earlier get into open relationships. And it's like you said, in a sense, it can be kind of an emotional immaturity of like, well, I'm not willing to continue going deeper with this person, so let me go out and find something, an easier dopamine hit, so that I can, you know, be with all these other people and not have to go to deeper levels of intimacy and self-responsibility within myself.
Absolutely. It's the something like, new and shiny, use it till you're bored with it, discard it, and find something else new and shiny. But ultimately, you never get into much depth with that. In my perspective, obviously, everyone has their whatever works for them, but this is how I feel, and this is what works for me. So if you guys enjoyed this video, if you want to learn more about polarity work, let me know in the comments below if you'd like to see more content like this. And this is also kind of an example of what Mariah and I are teaching in my Sex God course, where we're going in depth into polarity practices and how to maintain intimacy and passion in a long-term relationship.
And it's an entire year long, because these things don't change overnight.
It's deep.
It takes time.
It's deep.
And practice.
Put more information for that course in the description of this video. Thanks for joining me, Mariah.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Sexual Kung Fu Podcast. Make sure you grab my free ejaculation control guide in the description and follow Sexual Kung Fu on Instagram and YouTube.